Turn in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. We're finishing up a series of messages, God's love story. Today we're talking about trust. Psalm 56. There's a lot of trust issues in the world today. There's a lot of trust issues in the church. Amy Carmichael was born in Ireland to godly parents, and she served the Lord in India for 55 years without a furlough. She wrote many books about her missionary work. She knew a lot about trusting God, and she had this to say in the form of a poem. Strength of my heart, I need not fail, not mine to fear but to obey. With such a leader, who could quail? Strength of my heart, I rest in thee, fulfill thy purposes through me. I think Amy Carmichael knew about trust. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, have your Holy Spirit speak to us through it. Help us to trust you more fully. For it's in your Son's name we do pray. Amen. Some of your Bibles may say what Psalm 56 is about. It's a musical tune. And mine says, to the tune of a dove on distant oaks. I don't have the music. I don't even know if it exists anymore. It's a miktam or a hymn. My Bible also says that it was written when the Philistines had seized David in Gath. David's on the run from Saul, who is very jealous of him. And he's trying to hide out, and he hides out, and the Philistines capture him, and he writes these words. Now, think about that. He's essentially a prisoner of war. He can't go back home because Saul's going to kill him. He's already tried twice. He is in the midst of his enemies, literally in their camp, and he writes these words. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. One of my favorite verses of the Bible. One I was taught when I was 3 years old. Verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. God's love story is a love story about trust. You can trust completely, totally in God. It amazes me that you have one of two responses in a lot of churches. Maybe you have this response yourself. You trust in God for salvation. Yes, I believe God will save me. But that's it. Any other thing that is out there, well, we've got to rely on the bank. We've got to rely on our good name. We've got to have this, that, and the other. You can't trust God to supply your needs, not your wants, your needs, and supply the strength to do His will. You trust God for salvation, but that's where it ends. Or sometimes we sit around and we think God's going to supply everything, but I can get to Him on my own. You see, if I work hard enough, if I do enough, if I look good enough, I can get there. Either way is an incomplete trust. Either way is false. David knew trust. The first question we need to ask of this text and of our very lives is, when can I trust God? When can I trust God? David answers us. When can I trust God? Verse 1, when the world tries to run me down. When the world tries to run me down. Here David is, surrounded by the enemy. He can't go home again. He's being pressed on all sides. He writes, "Be merciful to me, God. I'm being pursued. When can I trust you, God?" All the time. I trust your mercy. I trust your mercy. We read about every day violence breaking out in homes, in countries, in churches. And they forget to trust in God and His mercy. The world's not a merciful place. It isn't. It isn't. God is merciful. God is loving, and God is ultimately and completely and 100% trustworthy. The question I ask again, when can I trust God? When the world tries to run me down. When I'm at my lowest point, when I'm being pressed upon on all sides, I can trust Him. I can trust His mercy. When can I trust God? Verse 2, when they try attacks of pride. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. Now, let's turn this around a little bit. What pride is he talking about? The pride of the Philistines who said, finally, we've got that guy that slew our giant, our champion, Goliath? Or were the attacks of pride maybe a direction from God into David's life to say, you know, David, you're getting a little bit high. You're getting a little bit on yourself too much. When can I trust God? When my pride is cast down at the feet of the cross. When I say it's no longer my will. It's no longer my ideas, my designs, my hopes, my desires, but yours, oh God. When they try the attacks of pride, I know I can trust God. What have I got to be proud of anyway? Everything I have comes from God. And I trust God for everything. What have I got to be proud of? Everything's given to me. Now, that's not saying like some fancy TV preacher that all I've got to do is just go reach out and grab it and just grab it and blab it, name it, claim it. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Sufficiency for the task is already promised to me. Salvation is already promised to me. God's trust and being able to trust in Him is already promised to me. Why don't I just go ahead and do it? Why do I let my pride get in the way? Why do I let the prideful attacks of others get in the way? Just trust Him. When can I trust God? Verse 3, when I'm afraid. Kim mentioned as a child being afraid of storms. Some of you laughed, but some of you kind of took a pause there because, yeah, you're still afraid of storms. You know, being a grown-up doesn't mean that you're no longer afraid of things. In fact, quite the opposite. We get more fears as we grow up, don't we? We discover, hey, I'm not bulletproof. I'm not 21 anymore and I can't run all day and do all day and everything is just going to work out fine. That there's things that'll sneak up and get you because I know so-and-so who died of cancer. I know this happening to that person. I know a kid who was in a car wreck and on it goes. When can I trust God? When I'm most afraid. In Psalm 18:2, David wrote these words that ought to be marked in every Bible. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. What more do you need? What more do you need? When I'm afraid, I can trust in God. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my salvation. And all the things that David lists. And for him to come back In Psalm 56, surrounded by his enemies, hard-pressed on every side to write, "I trust in the Lord when I'm afraid." That's an amazing testimony. Do you see why the scripture records that David was a man after God's own heart? Yes, he messed up big time. We know the whole story about Bathsheba. We know the whole story about him sending her husband Uriah into battle to be killed. He's got blood on his hands. But at the end of the day, at the end of his life, God says, "This is my servant, the apple of my eye." What a testimony. When can I trust God? Verses 1 through 3, all the time. All the time. Verses 4 through 7 teach us to ask, how can I trust God? How? You tell me I can, but how? I don't get it. Let's look at 4 through 7. David writes, "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down." Look at that a second. How can I trust God? Verse 4 gives us an exact answer. Live God's word out loud. Live it out loud. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Are you saying I need to go down on Ash Street and put me up a little milk carton and just sit there and babble like some street preacher? No. No. When I say live God's word out loud, number one, spend time in the scriptures daily. It's the roadmap. It's the roadmap. If you don't have a roadmap, you're going to get lost. Secondly, let your testimony, if you claim to be a Christian, be a bold Christian. The Bible says that we're to always be ready with an answer. I'm not expecting you to be a walking theology book, but you need to know what you know. You need to live God's word out loud. You need to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," when tragedies occur. You need to trust in Him. The world's watching. The world's taking note. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid, what can mere mortals do to me? David says, I'm going to live like God is alive because God is alive. And He's made me alive. These are the words, ladies and gentlemen, of a saved man. You say, well, the cross hadn't happened yet. He couldn't have been saved. Yes, he was. Except David was looking forward in time to the Redeemer that would come out of his line. He was putting his trust in God that a Redeemer would come from his line that would save the world. We're looking back on the cross. David was a saved individual. His words here speak volumes. I trust in your word. I believe it. I will live like it's true. Verses 5 and 6. How can I trust God? Don't worry about what man does. Look at some of the things that David describes. All day long they twist my words. They scheme for my ruin. They conspire. They lurk. They watch my steps, and I think he's being quite literal here. They hope to take his life. Would you say that's a hard-pressed individual? Would you say that's a guy with problems? I would. Conspiring, lurking, sneaking up on me, twisting my words. Wow, that'd be a tough way to live, wouldn't it? But what does David say? I'm not going to worry about what man does. Look at verse 4. What can man do to me? Nothing. I don't care. I've got God on my side. And as long, David says, as I stay in His will, I'm okay. I'm fine. I've used the story before, but I'll use it again. There was a missionary, and the name escapes me right this minute. He was going to South America, to the Amazon tribes, a tribe called the Aka Indians. And they said, "Man, you're a fool. These folks are headhunters. They will kill you. There's no if, and, or buts. They will kill you. They're the most bloodthirsty tribe that has ever existed. They love to slaughter." They said, "You're a fool." The man's reply, again, I'm having a mental cramp here, was, "Thank you, Elliot." Elliot's reply, "Thank you," was, "No man is a fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Does that sound like a man who trusts God? The short end of the story is, yes, they did kill him along with three other companions. But you know what happened? As Paul Harvey would say, four of the men got radically, completely, and totally saved and became missionaries and pastors to their own people and translated God's word into the Aka language. And God swept a revival fire through that tribe of murdering savages. Can God do that today? Yes! Do we trust Him to do it? I don't know. Do we? Verse 7 teaches us that we're to give the situation over to God. David cries out for justice, and he trusts in God to deliver it. "Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down." David's not saying, "Look, I've been wronged. You know, God, give me the strength, give me the gun, the knife, whatever it is, and let me go take vengeance." That's not your job. Your job as a Christian is to let God work. Your job as a Christian is to trust that He will perform what He said He would. That justice comes from Him. And not from the justice system, necessarily. And not from your neighbor. And not from getting people on your side and winning a debate. Justice comes from God. There are a lot of people, again, I've said, that have trust issues. They've been hurt. They've been hurt by the church and in the church, and they can't let go. And they want to wreak vengeance on people's lives. What does Paul write in Romans 12:9? "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord.'" We need to trust God that He will take care of situations. We need to trust God that He is working in situations. We need to trust God that we can live out His word, that we don't have to worry about what man does, that we can give the situation over to God. That's how I can trust God. What does God do with my trust? Look at verse 8 and 9. David writes this: "Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help, because by this I will know that God is for me." What does God do with my trust? First of all, God knows you. God knows each and every one of us. God knows us better than we know ourselves, better than anyone else can know us. And He still loves us. We can trust in that. I like what verse 8 specifically has to say. "Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll." I do believe, not in some metaphysical, strange way, but God knows every tear you've shed. God knows every heartfelt cry you have had, and He's doing something about it. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe you don't feel it, but you can trust that it's happening. Why? Because God knows me. That's what He does with my trust. He, in turn, knows me even more. Verses 10 through 11 God gives me His word. David writes, "In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid." Again, he writes, "What can man do to me?" I've already been given God's word. I've already been given a roadmap. I've already been given a complete life plan. What can man do to me? You say, well, yeah, they can come in and they can take all our Bibles. They can't take what's in my heart. They can't take what's in my mind. They cannot break my trust in God if I don't let them. What does God do with my trust? He gives me His word. He puts me in situations where the only thing I have to rely on is His word. He puts me in situations where I can share the word of God. That's what He does with my trust. You know, the thing about God's word is it's 100% true. This Bible does not contain truth. It does not contain truth. It is truth. If you think it contains truth, we've got to talk, because it is true. God's word is true, and I can trust in Him. What does God do with my trust? He knows me. He's given me His word. Verses 12 and 13, He's given me a future. David says, "I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." David's talking about a future. You've delivered me. You've kept me from stumbling. You've kept me on the straight and narrow, because I can't do it. It's you, God. It's you. You're the one that brings salvation. You're the one in whom I trust. You're the one who gives me a future. I'm going to be thankful to you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to tell others about you. And I'm going to walk before you in the light of life. I think that's a bit of foreshadowing. Who's the light of life? John 8:12. Jesus spoke again to the people and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." God's love story is one of trust. In any love story, in any relationship, you have to have trust. When can I trust God? Always. How can I trust God? By living out His word, giving situations over to God, and not worrying about what everybody else says. What does God do with my trust? He lets me know that He knows me. He gives me His word. He's given me a future. As Lisa comes to play our hymn of invitation, fittingly, hymn number 144, "Only Trust Him." Whatever your issue is, whatever your problem is, bring it to the altar. Put it there, leave it there, and trust God to deal with it. He can do so much more with a willing, trusting heart than with a prideful, stubborn one. Please stand and sing hymn number 144. The altar is open.